Today is the last day of open enrollment for those seeking insurance under the Affordable Care Act. More than 6 million people have already signed up, according to the Obama administration. Some undoubtedly enrolled because of the legal mandate, but for others, it represents a welcome opportunity. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today on Central Standard, we'll be looking at the Affordable Care Act specifically from the perspective of local artists. We'll share the stories of local artists who have struggled to pursue their passions while maintaining access to health care. Later in the hour, we'll explore the artwork of Missouri native Thomas Hart Benton, best known for his fluid narrative paintings. That and more, right after this news. In 2013, the Future of Music Coalition and the Artists Health Insurance Resource Center found that 43% of working artists did not have health insurance. That's more than double the estimated percentage of uninsured Americans in the population at large. With today being the final opportunity to enroll for coverage through the Affordable Care Act, we'll take a look at how healthcare legislation factors into artists' ability to make a living while pursuing their passion. Will changes in that complex equation have a ripple effect on the art created here in Kansas City? Good morning and welcome to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today we'll look at healthcare enrollment with a focus on artists. Later in the show, stay tuned to hear about a Kansas City painter of yesteryear, Thomas Hart Benton. I'm joined by writer and visual artist Jose Faust, who has exhibited widely in Kansas City, in addition to working on mural projects in Mexico and Bolivia. Thanks for being here today, Jose.
Thank you, Gina.
So tell us a little bit about your own history as far as health and health coverage goes.
Well, it's I think at one point I had coverage, but I don't think I had it. And then the job I was working through ended in terms of my health care. And so I went from a fully funded program to the COBRA thing, which was 18 months extended. And I was paying that. The premium was about $330 a month. But, you know, if you're a self-employed artist or any self-employed person, you can deduct that off your taxes. So I was working on that assumption. And then as the plan expired, I went to look for options. The providers I was looking at, they all denied me, one for the pre-existing condition. Then secondly, I was referred to an exchange, which is kind of the last resort run by the state of Kansas. And when I went through it and you know, basically looked at my options, the premium I got was like about $850 a month.
Wow.
$10,000 deductible, based primarily on, you know, the existing condition, and which was asthma. And so that totally just wiped me out, because even if I could have afforded it, that was such a huge premium to pay. So I've relied on the services of, you know, reduced care clinics, which kind of limit some of your options if you have to see a specialist or something. But then when the Affordable Care Came Act, I tried to sign up when it first went online and had the difficulties that people did. But I sat it out. You know, I knew when the deadline was, the original one for January 1st. And then I came back like about a week before the deadline was up after assurances that some of these things had been worked out. And, you know, I spent an afternoon, probably about 3 hours, with a navigator, a very nice lady, who just took me through the whole thing and set up the healthcare coverage, got the plan, have a doctor, have the primary things, have a plan, basically.
Well, we're going to get back to you in just a moment to talk about how being an artist has played into all of the story that you've just told us and more. But we have a couple of other guests, so I'm going to move on to introduce Jana Saparova, a Kansas City-based dancer and dance instructor specializing in flamenco, Argentine tango, salsa, and merengue. In addition to supporting herself, Jana has a family to consider, a husband, a son, and one more on the way. Is that right, Jana?
That's correct.
So tell us a little bit, just as Jose did, about your own history with this subject, and particularly, I'm a little bit interested invested in the maternal care and maternity coverage because that cost is so steep.
Absolutely. Let's see. When I was teaching flamenco and performing, I was, again, self-employed. I was working also for a company out of Austin, Texas, but I was a contractor for them, so there were no benefits. This was also the time when Beau and I were ready to start a family, and we've done some research about, you know, purchasing our own insurance. Of course, we carried the catastrophic insurance, but maternity was not covered at all.
And I'm going to jump in and say your husband also works in the arts.
Yes, yes, Beau Bledsoe. So this was the time when we've done our research and we found out that if we wanted to have a child, we had to pay anywhere between $15,000 to $17,000 out of pocket.
I'm not speaking because I'm too stunned.
So were we, trust me. Fortunately, right around that time, my former colleague and mentor reached out to me to tell me that she had someone go on maternity leave at her university. She was Deborah Knaus. She was working at the University of St. Thomas at the International Student Affairs Office and kind of jokingly said, you should move up here. I thought about it and I said, well, I come and help you out temporarily for a couple months. And that's what I did. I moved to Minnesota. During that time, Beau and I more seriously talked about, you know, if we want to have a start a family, we have to have insurance. And so that was the time that I accepted a position at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I worked there for a couple of years, but that was the time when we could start a family.
So we will get into the complications of trying to start a family while living in separate cities in a moment. One last guest to introduce now. We've got with us by phone from New York, Renata Marinaro, Director of Health Services for the Eastern Region of the Actors Fund, an organization that helps arts and entertainment professionals by providing a safety net in times of crisis or transition. She'll bring national context to this morning's discussion. Hello, Renata.
Hi there.
So, from what you've heard so far, are you hearing themes that resonate for you with respect to artists you've already spoken to and who you work with?
Absolutely, 100%. So what Jose was saying before about being referred to a high-risk pool and the high-risk pool being very expensive, that was when it was difficult for people to get coverage if they had a pre-existing condition. That is no longer the case, but that was a huge deal to change that. Also, he was mentioning, you know, the fact that it's difficult to find specialists if you're going to sliding scale clinics. That, too, was an issue with the system. And what Jana said about the lack of maternity coverage, even though you're insured, the fact that there was no list of minimum essential benefits prior to the ACA is another thing that's very important. I met someone once whose arms and legs were insured and nothing else.
Explain that. How does such a policy exist? What is that about?
Was a woman from Colorado who had applied for insurance, and she had received confirmation from an insurer, and she didn't really look at the plan, and then later found out when she wanted to use it that it only covered her arms and her legs. Those kinds of things were allowed prior to the Affordable Care Act. They're no longer allowed now.
That brings me to my next question, which is to explain exactly what it is you do and maybe how your job description has changed, if it's changed, since open enrollment for insurance through the health marketplaces began.
Sure. So the Artist Health Insurance Resource Center, which is a division of the Actors Fund, started in 1998 from a grant from the NEA. There was a survey done in 1991 by the American Council for the Arts that showed that 30% of artists were living without health care coverage. And in 98, we got a grant to create a database of annotated links to health care and insurance resources nationwide, and that database became our website, AHRQ.org. So we've been doing this work of reaching out to the arts community through individual counseling, seminars, e-learning tutorials, guides, etc., for years. And then when the Affordable Care Act came along, we became navigators. So we actually sit down with people and help them understand how to fill out the application, and that's especially challenging for people who have variable incomes or who are self-employed. It can be difficult to estimate your 2014 income if you don't have a regular paycheck. So we help artists navigate that.
For those of our listeners who don't run around with artists all the time, I wonder if you could just explain what factors make being an artist a unique proposition in terms of finances and how health insurance plays into that.
So, artists have limited access to insurance under employment-based systems. Because they often work on a freelance basis, their incomes fluctuate month to month. That's difficult and frustrating if you're trying to budget if you don't have a fixed paycheck. And contrary to popular belief, most artists aren't stars, and they don't make a lot of money. They have difficulty making ends meet. They need jobs that have flexible work schedules. Artists, for example, musicians may have to tour, and so they need jobs that that are seasonal jobs or allow long leaves of absences. So basically, artists were left out of the employment-based health insurance system, and they had to go on the individual market to buy health insurance policies. The individual market is always a lot more expensive, and so that made things difficult as well. For example, a year ago, in New York, the cheapest policy on the open market was $1,000 a month. Now, someone who makes $22,000 or $23,000 a year can get a plan for $130 a month, a silver-level plan, which is the most popular plan. So what the ACA has done is it's not only lowered the premiums, which is important for artists because they generally tend to be in a lower income range, and it's also allowed more access to health insurance by taking away the whole issue of pre-existing conditions, but it's also flexible. So if someone's income fluctuates, for example, if they make, $3,000 one month and then don't make anything for another 3 months, the subsidies that they get through the Affordable Care Act will respond to that change in income. So you can actually call the exchange and say, hey, I anticipated $20,000 this year, but it looks like I'm going to be under that. It's September, and I'm not making as much as I thought I was going to make, and they will change your subsidies to reflect your income. So that's very important.
Well, let's hold that thought because you're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Gina Kaufman, and I've been talking today with artist Jose Faust, dancer Jana Saparova, and Renata Marinaro, Director of Health Services for the Eastern Region of the Actors Fund. We're discussing health care coverage among artists and what the Affordable Care Act will and won't change about the situation. Call in to join us with your questions and your stories. The number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And I'd like to go back to Jose for a moment. Jose, how has your ability to get insurance affected your decisions as an artist? We've heard a little bit about how your decisions as an artist have played into your health care opportunities, but has it worked the other way around?
You know, there have been jobs I've taken primarily because, as Shana pointed, that's an extreme example. You have to go take a job in order to be able to think about having a family. But I have taken positions that required me to go full-time, which limits the flexibility that you want as a creative person in order to ensure having that that insurance. When my first started having the issues with the asthma, they coincidentally arrived at the same point that I did have that full coverage, which was amazing to me to be able to. I mean, it was luck. It was so total luck, and I think sometimes that's kind of what you, as a creative person, you see that you just walk this very fine line where, flip off this side and it's catastrophic, flip off this side and it's, providential. But yeah, it has, it does influence, and especially as I get older, that is something that preys on me. With the Affordable Care Act, I'd like to think that right now I have, under the conditions of the plan, and knowing that there is a sliding scale, the subsidies, and that depending on how much you make, you can go up or down. It gives you a sense of relief. I mean, it really is. This year will not be something that will be in the back of my head, thinking about, well, can I see a specialist? Can I do this? That is an incredible relief.
Yeah, when you make the decision to work full-time in order to give yourself that psychological security and that health security, that makes it hard for you to get your work done as an artist. But then when you make the other decision to forego coverage in order to have that time to dedicate to your art, I wonder if the uncertainty is a source of distraction that maybe makes that counterproductive.
There is. It's totally. I can tell you, during the time that I've had, haven't had the insurance, there have been times when some of the issues, the health issues, kind of are tan. I mean, they are paramount. They're the most important thing you're thinking about. And then you're sitting there and you're trying to work on a project, but you're perhaps you're not breathing as clearly as you can. You know that you're avoiding going to see the specialist because you've been told that there's no way you can see a specialist unless you have X amount of money up front, and they're going to ask for it. They won't even refer you to a hospital unless they know that you have cash coming. I mean, that's basically what it was for me. So it worries you. But, you know, I don't know. you kind of mush along. But it is a concern. It does impact the way you think about things. Perhaps maybe you start to get a little bit more anxious and believe that you have to kind of cram a lot of stuff into it.
Jeanna, we've talked with you just a while ago about that seeking maternity coverage was a particular challenge for you. And it sounds like Jose is echoing here the idea that artists sometimes have had to apply their creativity to the project of coming up with a plan that's going to allow them to have their creative professional expression as well as the security of knowing that they're covered, and particularly when approaching the project of starting a family with sufficient health coverage. Could you tell us in a little bit more detail your story as far as that goes?
Well, like I mentioned before, I had to take a position in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I took it as a temporary to help out my former colleague. And then once I moved there, the more I talked to my husband, I realized this is probably the only opportunity I will have where, you know, I have all the benefits and we could actually start a family. All flamenco performing, our school here, everything was on hold. We had to put everything on hold since I was in Minnesota. And Bo and I would practically see each other twice a month because his life, you know, his career was here. He was performing. Was working with the Kansas City Ballet at the time. So it was kind of trying to work around both of our schedules to see each other.
And that's not, I mean, I don't mean to be I don't mean to be toward, but that's not just your work schedules. That's a well-timed twice-a-month visit given the circumstances.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Well, I understand correctly. I can see you here. You're expecting again. And how has your situation changed since your first child was born? Are you doing similar kinds of gymnastics?
Well, since our first child was born, you know, it was very difficult for Bo and I to be apart for such an extended, you know, period of time. And that was also the time when we told each other, never again, we're going to do this. After my maternity leave, I decided to come back to Kansas City. And, you know, as luck would have it, my employer, Alliance Abroad Group, who I was a contractor for, found a position for me, a full-time position with benefits. So it was pure luck. It came out of nowhere. They offered me a position, and I was able to accept it. So that position has benefits, and that was the reason why we have a second child coming on its way right now.
Renata Marinaro, Director of Health Services for the Eastern Region of the Actors Fund, could you talk to us a little bit about, we've heard a lot of stories, but what are you seeing as far as artists' responses to the availability of non-employer-based health insurance options?
Very enthusiastic. People are very happy that this is an option now.
There's not just opportunity here, however. There's a legal mandate. And what do you see as far as that goes? The administration seems to be doing a lot of work to get the word out about the opportunity to sign up. But maybe people don't quite realize to that same extent that there will be possible penalties for not being insured as of tomorrow.
Yes, and I think, you know, I've said some of the things that I think are really good about the Affordable Care Act, but the rollout was less than stellar. And I think that the outreach has been inadequate. There are still a lot of people who don't know that as of tomorrow, they will be penalized 1% of their income for being uninsured. I think a lot of people think it's the deadline to sign up for the marketplace, and it is, but it's also the deadline to have insurance. So people will start paying a penalty. So if you make $30,000, you're going to be paying $300 next year on your tax returns for being uninsured. So there's a lot of there's misinformation, and there's also just a lack of knowledge about the Affordable Care Act.
What seem to be the popular options now that the landscape has changed among the artists that you're working with? I mean, there are a lot of different routes people could go, particularly depending on what state they live in.
Right. It is very state dependent, and that's extremely important. So, for example, in Kansas and Missouri, they did not expand Medicaid, which is unfortunate. I know that in Missouri it's still being debated, but and in New York they did expand Medicaid. So we see a lot of people getting on Medicaid. If you make less than $16,000 a year, you can get on Medicaid in about half the states in this country, and people who can do because it's comprehensive and free. Then there's sort of an Obamacare sweet spot, I like to call it, which is if you make between $16,000 and about $23,000 a year, you're getting significant subsidies, you're getting really nice plans for very low amount of money, and because a lot of artists are low income, they fit that Obamacare sweet spot. So it's still a for-profit system, and so what we recommend is that people view it as educated consumers, see how they can get the most bang for their buck, see what works in their life. If they know, for example, that they're going to have a baby this year, they might want to go with a plan that has a lower out-of-pocket maximum that limits your financial responsibility. But if they're young and healthy and they just want to fulfill the mandate, they might go for a plan with a high deductible just to make sure that nothing that they don't hemorrhage money if anything happens.
You mentioned a sweet spot, but there's also been a lot of talk about the Medicaid gap, those people who make too much for state Medicaid but not enough to get subsidies from the federal government. Do a lot of artists fall into that gap?
We don't see a lot of artists in New York because we don't have that gap, but in other states, for example, in Texas, I was just there for South by Southwest, there are a lot of people that fall into that gap, and it is extremely unfortunate. And if anybody wants to advocate towards change, I think that would be one of the most important things to advocate for is expanded Medicaid coverage, because it puts those people in a very unfortunate position. They have to have insurance, but they can't afford it.
Kansas City, falling on that line between Kansas and Missouri, two states that, as you've said, have not gone with the Medicaid expansion, what would you recommend for Kansas City as far as attracting and retaining artists, given what might be considered a disincentive for people who fall within that gap?
As far as retaining, I think that in Kansas City, the impact of the arts is pretty high. I think it's about $273 million. So it seems like there's a lot of artistic activity in Kansas City. I don't know that artists would come to Kansas City just for the health insurance, but I'm not really sure how to answer that question, actually.
Well, that's all right. Another question just about whether the trends in Kansas City are applicable nationwide. In Kansas City, the practice of throwing big fundraising shows for artists who have fallen ill and don't have insurance has been de rigueur in this time, at least previous to the Affordable Care Act. Do you consider this some kind of form of insurance, and is this community substitute for that kind of safety net? Is that common nationwide, or is that a particular Kansas City phenomenon?
It is not a particular Kansas City phenomenon. It is nationwide, and everybody I know that's participated in one of those says, I hope I never, ever have to do this again. I think it's wonderful when the community comes together to support somebody. That's extremely important, but it is not a substitute for health insurance.
Jose, let's come back to you for a minute. The Obama administration, as we were saying, has been trying to get the word out that that this is an option. Based on your interactions, is the message reaching Kansas City artists? Are people talking about it and pursuing this?
Well, I work through Artists Inc. as a facilitator to the, you know, career development program that we have there. And we've talked about it. And actually, I personally do tell people, I say, you know, you are an artist, and if you're, the majority of your income is coming from you, your work, you are, basically, this is a tax deduction, even if you have to pay something towards it. And, you know, so, I've heard the discussion, too. I've seen where people have actually posted on Facebook, artist friends were, that have never had insurance, and have actually said, hey, I have done it, here it is, you know. So I think that word of mouth will help a lot for artists, and especially since we kind of have a fairly tight woven group of artists here, even if you're at the margins, you know, an artist, throw a rock, you'll hit one. So I think that word can spread. But I think there is excitement because people that have never had insurance are actually considering and finding that they can have it.
And what about that flip side of it, that there is actually a mandate? Do you think that artists in the community have gotten coverage as of today, this final day for enrollment?
Well, you know, I don't know if fear is what gets you there. You know, it's like, I've heard people that aren't even artists say, you know, well, I can pay $95 a year. It's not a big deal till the bill comes due. So I'm not hearing anybody really jumping on it because they're fearing this fee, or even not jumping on it because they're mad at the fee. And what I've heard is more the intrigue to actually go in there and look. I think what scared most people off, it has been the negative propaganda that has come against the act. All these ads that sit there and say, look what happened to this person, and then you investigate further, you peel the scab from that little scratch, and you realize, no, that's a lie. It actually is serving a lot of people. I think that's the one detriment to it. But I guess that's what I have to say about that.
Well, we'll get back to the idea of whether that is propaganda and what people think about that in just a moment. But we're going to turn to a caller. She called us at 816-235-2888. We've got Priscilla in Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning.
Hi. I'm a full-time storyteller. And when I quit my job 21 years ago to be a full-time storyteller, I promised myself I'd have insurance. But I've had $5,000 deductibles. And so when my doctor said, you have to have a colonoscopy, just a, you know, baseline, I looked at it and it was between $2,000 and $3,000. But now, because of the Affordable Care Act, that screening is free, and that's a huge thing. I don't have to think about that. $2,000 and $3,000 I would have had to pay because my deductible was $5,000. So I'm really thrilled that A, I can have insurance that is affordable and that doesn't have this giant deductible, and I can have the screenings that are really recommended, like a mammogram, colonoscopy, all those things that our doctors say will save lives. So I'm just thrilled to pieces as an artist to have that.
Priscilla, during that time when you were confronting this situation with the colonoscopy, how did that affect the work that you produced?
I tell you, I spent so much time sort of online looking for ways to have a cheaper colonoscopy or just worrying about it and just thinking, okay, how am I going to do this? Am I going to just put it on a credit card and then have to pay? I don't know if my work suffered, but at least I know that I spent a lot of mind space on that really... I'm so thankful that I don't have to do that again.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Priscilla. It sounds like your experience is stacking up pretty similarly with Jose and Jana. Do either of you, Jose or Jana, have some response to what Priscilla has said?
Well, there's a really nifty thing in the Navigator. Once you get online and you have your account set up, you can actually go and look for a specialist. And I think one of the things that people really need to understand is that there's a tool in there where you can actually see, like, say, if you have a condition that you're concerned about, you can actually go in there and find a pool of doctors that work on that condition, look at their reports, see how many things they work on, you know, what kind of rating they have. But then you also see the cost per treatment that these people have based compared to a national average. And people will be amazed, even within Kansas City, how for certain asthma treatments, for example, it can range from $1,500 all the way up to $9,000 to $10,000, $12,000, $13,000. And that disparity tells you a lot about the healthcare system we have. And so, I mean, it behooves us to investigate it. Don't sit on the sidelines and wait and just go right now and investigate and see if it works for you.
Jana, do you have anything to add? Renata, why don't we go back to you? Jose has mentioned a couple of things. First of all, earlier he mentioned the idea that there has been negative publicity surrounding this process. Has that been, first of all, do you feel that that's the case? And then second of all, do you see that affecting artists and their approach?
Absolutely. I think it's definitely been the case. There's been a lot of misinformation, and it does affect artists because they think that their options are limited or that their options are bad. When I was in Texas, I found that I think Austin has something like 3 navigators. I mean, it's a large city, and there's just not enough people getting the word out there, and that's because Texas has underfunded the navigator programs, and so people don't know what they're eligible for. So when I was doing a presentation, there were people in the audience that said, oh, you know, I'm eligible for insurance. That's probably going to cost me $60 a month. Might not even have a deductible. Covers all the preventive screenings for free, etc. So, and they were very enthusiastic. In fact, I had one rapper in the audience who said he was going to rap about healthcare after that. So,
that's funny.
So once you tell people, once you tell people the facts, a lot of people are very enthusiastic about the law and realize that it can really benefit them.
I have another question for you, kind of shifting gears. We've talked a lot about what the past has been like and what the financial pros and cons are here, but I wonder qualitatively when it comes to art, if you expect to see a change now that people's healthcare pictures are changing and now that people's employment opportunities would presumably increase and become more varied.
I think that if someone can get covered and get health care, they can get more creative. And so I think that once you untether the system, it's important from employment-based insurance, people will be able to be more creative in different ways.
I'd like to thank Jose Faust, Jana Saparova, and Renata Marinaro for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking with all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break, but stay tuned for a look into the life and work of painter Thomas Hart Benton. Central Standard will be right back.